He's here.
Is that Jacob? No, we wasted enough time. Looky there. So did you find our speck on the map?
I did. I found the lake in high school.
Okay, Jacob, talk to me. Talk dirty to me.
Whoa.
And if you have a beverage, by all means, you can indulge. We can't, but you can. So we're in a government building, so that kind of puts a damper for us.
Right, so that's not happening for you. But, Waterworks. I may or may not have already had a glass of white wine before we tuned in. So there you go.
That works. Just wanted to make
sure. Disney Princess Hotel.
Exactly. There you go. Which is basically how I describe my name to anyone that I'm trying to. And yeah, there you go. Nice.
I'm sure you love getting that all the time.
Well, you know, the Little Mermaid came out when I was in college, so it was a big divider because there's only a small percent of the population that actually knows my name comes from Shakespeare.
Oh.
I'm actually named for the Tempest. My parents are theater obsessed and thespians, and they love historical theater. So that's what I was named for. But no longer is that part of anyone's cultural reference because they've just gone straight to Disney, which is okay because she's a cute redhead. So I'll take it.
There you go. It works all the way around. There you go.
Hi, it's Ray from Lolita Dark. You are listening to Comic Pop Library.
Whatever you do, I'll do it too. Show me everything and tell me how. It all means something and yet nothing to me. Oh, I can see there's so much to learn. It's all so close and yet so far. I see myself as people see me. Oh, I just know there's something bigger out there. I wanna know, can you show me? I wanna know about these strangers like me. Tell me more, please show me. Something's familiar about these strangers like me.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan,
Jacob,
and Logan.
And in today's episode, we are visiting with Ariel Hyatt from Cyber PR. She is the author of about four books, I believe. CrowdStart is her latest book. She also has Cyber PR Musicians, Music Success in 9 Weeks, which I believe, Ariel, if I remember, is going to come out with a new edition pretty soon.
Yes, it is.
And Musicians Roadmap, the Facebook to Twitter. But what she has allowed us to do is get a glimpse of her Ultimate Guide to Music Publicity, which was released earlier this year. So, Ariel, thank you for coming on tonight.
Pleasure is all mine.
And most of you probably would know Ariel by some of the posts we do. When you see a lot of the Cyber PR posts that we have on our website with some of the musicians that come our direction, Ariel is the founder of Cyber PR, and her team and her sends us these segments that we put on our posts. Also, she sends us EPs and albums that some of the artists have been nice enough to send our direction, and we do podcasts on as well. So, Ariel, to you and your team, a big thank you for that as well.
Pleasure.
Sounds so excited. It's a late night, folks. We're having fun. With the booklet that you've created and with some of the things that develops with PR, what I like some of the things that you said about this, that you're not their booking agent. We're going to go not literally through the whole booklet and pamphlet that you've done, but just kind of do some highlights and some stories that you think might be fun. But for everybody that's out there that might be a budding musician, let them know what the difference is between PR person, recording person. You mentioned a radio person as well. So there's all different parts of a team, but and you're one aspect. So would you give us those distinctions?
Sure. So as a musician, of course, we're not born with the innate knowledge of, you know, who are all the people in my neighborhood. And we get a lot of phone calls. Luckily, now that we have the internet, we get fewer. But when I started out, which was 22 years ago, before anyone could just simply Google, you know, what is music publicity or what is publishing or what does a record label do, you know, my phone would ring all day long and it would be curious artists. I don't know how they would find me, but they would. And they would say, so are you a publishing company? And I would have to say, well, no, I know it starts with P-U-B, but you're confused. So luckily now people have a lot more understanding. But there still is a lot of confusion when musicians go to hire anyone on a support team about what the real role is. And, you know, God bless every artist. It is really difficult to be a working musician these days. And there's a lot of desire to go on the road. And so many, many potential clients ask the question, you know, are you a booking agent? Can you get us gigs? And the answer is no. We used to do that back in the day when I was in Colorado. I had a booking agency and I actually used to route bands pretty much straight through your town from Colorado Springs to Wichita and then on to Kansas City. So, okay. But no, so we are not booking agents. We are, our role as publicists is to help our clients get write-ups written about. And of course, in today's world, that means on blogs and on websites, because we're pretty much living in a digital world.
Right. And you mentioned that in the pamphlet. How do you describe this as just strict guidelines? Because it is called Ultimate Guide. So do you consider it a small book or more of a pamphlet? How would you describe this?
Yeah, I mean, it's 40 pages. Right. So it's a robust pamphlet or a tiny book. But what I really wanted to do was give artists a resource so they could really understand the ups and downs and ins and outs of publicity, and they could read something that was comprehensive, because our agency, Cyber PR, if you visit Cyber PR Music, we have many, many articles all about marketing and promotions and social media and PR, and I wanted to put something comprehensive together that really gave people an overview of what to do and how to understand and navigate PR, whether you want to do it yourself or hire someone to help do it for you.
And one of the things I like about this, and the other guys can chime in too, they've all kind of went through it, is being in a pamphlet form, it makes you feel like you can do a little bit more with it, because I highlight it, I scribble it all in, and sometimes people don't want to do that with books.
And yeah, I think 40 pages, you know, you could pretty much read that in a 1 hour train ride, or, you know, you could sit down. You wouldn't feel overwhelmed reading it. So, yeah, I did try to put out something that was snackable.
There we go.
Less than 30 minutes reading.
Yeah, when you're a fast reader like a Logan. And if you want to get more in depth, that's when they will go and look into your other books that you have available, like your CrowdStart. And we mentioned you're going to be updating your music success in 9 weeks. So that is somewhere where they can go to get more in depth.
That's right.
And I tend to hog, so if you guys want to jump in, you can. So, as you can tell, I'm not really the talker, but I am when I come to the podcast. So yeah. Go figure that out. I don't know. With the musicians and coming to you, I like what you said. I think there was, or it was somebody other's quotes that, you know, the social media is out there. You also put out there that when you contact you, you're just to bring about publicity. But there was one mention in before we started recording, we kind of talked about this a little bit with the podcast here, is the time that's involved with this. And do the musicians, or you're pretty much exclusive musicians, correct?
I do work with some entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs as well, but historically my company is absolutely known for servicing the music industry, musicians, bands, some music companies and apps, but mostly straight up artists.
Okay. So is it still one of those difficulties that they're not used to playing the long game? Like we mentioned before we recorded, we get quite a few requests per week, And I try to space those out so we have, I don't want to flood the website. I want to be judicious so it's interesting each day for people to come back to. And I have a limited amount of time. And is our musicians kind of starting to understand that there's a long game involved with PR, or are they still kind of chomping at the bit with you trying to, you know, get us out there? Come on, come on now.
No, there is definitely, I think it's human nature to feel impatient. I mean, especially as creators, and I can speak to this as an author, you know, you put all this love and time into creating a book and you want to know, you know, do you like it? What do you think of it? What does the world think of it? Of course, it takes a long time to read a 300-page book. So I think that that is part of the nature of you hire a PR firm and the campaign starts the first of a month, let's just say May 1st, you know, by May 3rd, you're freaking out. Does anyone like it? Has anyone listened? You know, and it's, I think that's the challenging part. And you're right. There is quite a long game in this. It's about, you know, everyone that runs a blog is pretty much not getting paid to do it. It's a labor of love, or it's a side project, or it's, you know, something that they do because they love music. And there's thousands of CDs and singles and EPs and videos coming out a week, and there's only a finite amount of music blogs. And so do the math. It's just everybody just gets crazily overwhelmed pretty fast. And you know, what we like to do in our campaigns as publicists is the first week we like to at least give our client something. You know, here's your first get. You've got an interview. Here's the questions, or here's a little write-up that someone did. So we try very hard to, you know, come back to the client with something that they feel like, you know, the large sum of money that they've invested in us is already paying off early on. Okay. And that's part of the strategy of being a publicist, is really trying to please your client. You know, they paid a lot of money to get a result and they want to see it. But it is, the impatience kicks in, especially when you've taken a year to record, mix, master, design the artwork, figure out how you're going to distribute it, get it up onto TuneCore, CD Baby, Red, however you're doing it, then, you know, it's out in the world and, you know, it's a process.
It's their baby.
It's their baby. That's right.
Don't want to spike it too hard.
True. Okay. Word of mouth only goes so far, which is why they need you guys in the first place.
There's that, and there's also, you know, word of mouth. Well, that's only my friends and family. Of course, they're going to tell me I'm awesome or it's interesting. You know, it means so much more when it comes from, you know, that third party.
A total stranger. There you go.
I guess with your, you know, as you decide to take on clients, is there a certain criteria that like a musician has to meet before you'll take them on, or is it just, is it just if they have the money and you have the time, you go with it? Or
It's interesting. It's, you know, you have to be very selective as a publicist. You have to really, you know, if I don't have the right outlets to place the artist, I'm actually doing them a disservice if they come to me and they want help and I absolutely don't know how to help. Like, so for example, we do not work with heavy metal or death metal or black metal or metalcore. We just don't have a metal database at our company. And once in a while, a really interesting, very cool metal band will reach out to us. And I have to say, listen, we absolutely cannot help you. I have no idea where I would even send your music. Sorry. So, you know, there's definitely that. And now that I'm 22 years into my career, I also listen for, what's the expectation here? Because there is a lot of naivete that comes with hiring anyone onto your team, whether it's a marketing person or a radio person or a publicist, is that you think because you have the money, you're somehow going to get fast-tracked. And the truth is, unless you are signed to a very reputable record label or a major management company, or you have a celebrity Like, if Kanye signs you, you're good to go. But for us mere mortals who are not being taken under the wing of a massive celebrity, you know, there is a pecking order. And I like to always talk to our clients, potential clients, and find out, you know, are you reasonable or are you trying to get on NPR on your first week out? And I can tell I'm thousands of conversations and thousands of clients into my career. I can tell the difference between someone who is clear that they understand that this is a process, and there are many who are not clear. And unfortunately, there's a lot of PR firms that are willing to lie and say, oh, yes, we're going to get you in Pitchfork. And that's probably not going to happen first album out.
Yeah, unless you just hit it out of the park for some reason.
And you have tens of thousands of followers and you've got a label or something very interesting happening, then yes.
Right.
Or if some of your followers just happen to be the editors of that particular company or whatever. Best luck ever.
Yeah, exactly. And they've been your fan for a long time.
Yeah, no.
But that's the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
As some of the things I want to kind of confirm, and some of the other guys might as well when we're kind of talked about this, is you mentioned, you know, with the artists, you know, be patient. We appreciate that, definitely, because what you all mentioned, I'm in, not Oklahoma. I don't even know where I'm at. Good Lord, I'm in Kansas, as you can tell by my accent. you know, we try to do the best we can. As we mentioned off air, we're just a couple of gentlemen that are just here listening to music, and we're giving our thoughts. And usually when I write it up on the blog, it's usually me that's doing it. That's why I use the tagline for my first name, so that if you want to gripe at anybody, you can gripe at me. But it's one of those where we enjoy having the music sent to us. We love it. I definitely love it. Logan likes it. And Jacob and Jonathan enjoy it. And there's always stuff that we enjoy less than others. And I've always tried to respect what we don't always enjoy and try to think of the listener that would enjoy it. And you kind of mentioned that a little bit. Is that kind of where you have to kind of put yourself at as well, like Jacob said, when you're interviewing these people with their music?
For sure. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm not Moses from the mountain. You know, I don't know. Like, sometimes I might not love something and I'll play it for my team and they'll say, wow, this is really interesting, or this is really cool, or this is really trendy right now and we think we can actually do something quite strong with this. And so, you know, this also is a function of 22 years into the business. When I started and I was in my early 20s, you know, I only wanted to work what was my favorite, absolute, most amazing artist that never left my CD player, and I would take the, you know, make a cassette of the CD and put the cassette in my car and then go from the car to the house and the house to the car and play the music over and over and be in the front row of every show. And there's absolutely a place for that. And that is what every artist deserves on their PR team. But as I get older and as I understand the dynamics of marketing and promotions, it's yes, of course, I do like all of our clients, but it's also about, can we help them and do we have the right outlets for them? And that's absolutely part of the equation as well. If I think I can help and I know that I've got, you know, a dossier of writers that absolutely loves a certain type of music, well, then I know where to send everyone. And we don't send you all of the artists that we represent. We only send you the ones we think you're going to like. And that's how any good marketing or publicity team should be. You don't just blanket every single person on your list every time you have a client. You have to have a strategy around that.
Okay, I got to put you on the spot now. How do you decide on us? Because I look at our webpage and I'm like, we got music of all types that I try to be respectful to and listen to. And a lot of it I tend to enjoy. But so,
yeah, you are. I mean, you are one of our, you know, we have internal tags at our company and we mark, you know, some people only like singer-songwriters and some people only like, you know, rock. And some people only like jazzy things. And you are actually marked all artists internally here. So we know we can take a risk and send you something that's maybe a little quirky or a little different.
So we're,
which is
When we're not at the bottom of the rung, we're just send it their way. They're like Mikey.
Yeah, you know, Mikey likes it.
And for the rest, you just, okay, they like these guys, but they don't have such a good review of these other guys, so send them more people like these guys instead.
Yeah.
That seems to be the way.
I think I got the first negative response, and this was coming from a PR company, and I won't name who it is. It wasn't your company, though, I will say that much. But it was kind of interesting. I always try to make my, when I do the reviews online, and even when we record on podcasts, we try to mention what we liked and don't like, but we try to do it respectfully. And some of the things, one of the reviews, I think one of the things I really kind of harp on, and this is just by me by listening, is when an artist really blends in with the music and they tread that fine line between losing their voice in the music. And I just try to say, you know, this artist might want to kind of watch that line and stay above it so they don't lose themselves, because they're the star that they're wanting to be heard. And the
lyrics aren't much good if you don't know what the lyrics are at all.
Not all the times. There are times when lyrics can be...
Yeah, lyrics can be purely aesthetics, right, to the tune that the lyrics are. True.
True. But I just That's mentioned, I you know, just this artist might be, you know, careful. And boy, I was like... They came back to me and said, why did you give us such a negative review? And see if I'm doing this right, Ariel. You might say I'm doing it wrong, but how I listen to music, I listen to it cold turkey. And at most, I might listen to it two or three times as I'm writing about it. And we try to do brief reviews because I don't have a whole lot of time, because I'm fortunate enough that my work allows me a certain amount of time to post. Otherwise, I'd be up late at night doing these things. But I try to be brief, but, you know, give them a little bit of feedback, what I liked, especially if I really enjoyed it. But it's pretty much what hits me right on that spot, what hits me as I'm listening. Is that how you have seen most reviewers do this type of thing? Or is it one where you like the reviewers to immerse themselves for a while with the music and then write the review?
I think at this juncture, it is absolutely unfair to ask that.
Come on now.
It is. I mean, look, again, the last statistic I looked at, it was 2,500 albums coming out a week. You know, that we're not counting singles and videos. I mean, it's right. Unbelievable the amount of stuff that is deluging everyone. So that's a problem. I think it's unfair to be, I mean, especially if you're a new artist or an emerging artist. I mean, I think if you are in a pole position and you're a major charting artist, or you're, you know, a classic artist that's been around for 40 plus years, I think that there's a certain type of journalistic criticism. Like if you look at a John Perellis or, you know, a writer of that caliber that's been reviewing, you know, a Bob Boylan at NPR, you know, these are stalwarts of an old industry gone by. And, you know, it's funny, even the difference between how I used to have to pitch these types of journalists, you know, I can still remember my shaking, literally shaking in my boots when I'd have to call Rolling Stone or Spin or Greg Kot at the Chicago Tribune. And, you know, I'd have to get these like major critics on the phone. I mean, even G. Brown at the Denver Post. Here's a writer that did music criticism for 25 years. That's pretty much as old as I was when I started. So, you know, that's a different type of consideration, right, that happens, where we're in a digital world now, and it is about tons of things coming at you very quickly. And I think it's a lot to ask for you to, you know, listen four times, five times through before you make your critical assessment. And I mean, that's the other thing that I've really learned about representing artists and being their mouthpiece. If they get a negative review, it's not a bad thing. It just is what is. Right. Music is art. Mm-hmm. Art is, everyone has their opinion. There's no good and bad art. Art is art. And yeah. So, you know, something might deeply move someone and they might think it's fantastic, where someone else might look at a Warhol and say, well, that's just a stupid soup can. Anyone can do that. You know, so, you know, we all have our opinions about how art hits us. And I mean, that's funny. I think about when I was a young publicist, I had a band, a jam band from Colorado, where I was based at the time, and we had a newspaper, like, eviscerate. I mean, literally, like, I couldn't even understand, like, why would you waste the ink in your newspaper to write something so negative? Like, could you not have, like, reached on to the giant pile of tapes and CDs that arrived that week and find something you liked? And that was the one time in my career I actually did call the writer. And I was really upset. I took it so personally. And I was like, why would you do this? Like, and I was angry. And of course, it goes without saying that that writer literally never wrote about another one of my artists again. But I was just so upset and young that that's how I reacted. But, you know, and we hear about these stories once in a while. You know, Pitchfork notoriously, I can't remember who it was. It might be, I don't want to speak, I don't remember. But they, you know,
right,
they reviewed an artist, and the review was literally a monkey peeing.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a video of a monkey peeing. That's not a nice
no.
review.
No, it's not.
But, you know, I mean, it made headlines, and there it is. So, you know, I think as long as there has been art, there's been criticism of art. And if you're going to hire someone to put you in harm's way, you shouldn't just expect that it all comes back 4- and 5-star reviews.
Mm-hmm. And I guess speaking of negative reviews, do you, I guess, shield or protect your artist from some of the negative reviews? Or do you, I mean, you're not coming back to them, you know, and putting the rose-colored glasses on and telling them everybody thinks they're wonderful. But, I mean, do you kind of, I guess, give it to them sparingly? Or do you just let them know who said what and when they said it?
Like, unfortunately, there's Google alerts, and most of my clients know. They know what happens before we do. There isn't that sort of old school protection of, you know, the Burrell's clippings that used to arrive in these giant envelopes, and I would have these, you know, newspaper clippings, and I'd have to read them and cut them out, glue them up, take a photocopy, and then fax them to my client. So pretty much they see everything. I think that feedback is important. And you also have to always remember the filter that it's coming through. And I say this to my clients all the time. It's like, please understand that a vast majority of the blogs that we are sending you to, these are very young people in their early 20s. This is a hobby. They're not getting paid to be music journalists. These are not people working at Vanity Fair or Spin or Rolling Stone. You know, these are people that have other lives and they do other things and they're passionate about music and they like what they like. And a very small subset of humanity actually reads music blogs. I mean, I think if we went out on the street, we could all agree that, you know, most people have not heard of the Hype Machine or, you know, even most of the larger music blogs. They would just look at me perplexed. And so, you know, I always try to couch it in a conversation like that. Like, listen, 1% of the universe gives a hoot about this, and that person didn't like your vocal, and so what? There's tons of other people that will. But I think it's always hard. It's always hard when someone gives you negative feedback or it's not their thing. But, you know, if you sound like Deborah Harry and someone hates Blondie, you're not going to get a favorable review. That's just the way it's going to go.
Oh, give me Blondie any day.
I think that happened with one of our movie reviews. Can't remember which.
Oh, yeah, we did a movie that we didn't really enjoy, but some of our friends did. And
not the one I was thinking of, but true, that one too.
So it kind of, you know, I think it was It Follows. That was one of the more true negative ones we ever did on this show. So it has its group of followers, but no,
yeah,
no pun intended there.
Yeah.
Sorry. But, some of the things I want to also point out that you mentioned, you haven't gotten rid of us, so thank you for that. You haven't taken us off your list, so I must not have done.
We take a while.
Must not have said anything too bad, so we're still there. So, we enjoy it, though, definitely. Mm-hmm. And if the artists want to listen to this, but if you want to pass along, I enjoy listening to the music. we enjoy hearing from them. We're kind of in a quandary with interviews right now. With you, we're kind of, it's an informational interview. You do have monographs. But with them, without having a true musician anymore on the podcast, it's, we're kind of on a stumbling block of what questions to ask. So if I haven't branched out too much to do interviews with musicians because of that. So if they are interested, we'd be glad to, but it might be a real brief, fun interview, just, you know, saying what we liked, and we might go down rabbit holes talking about different things, but
that happens a fair amount.
Right. So, but we're game whenever they're game.
You have to remember, it's just humans, and I think it's interesting, and I think that we don't all have to pretend that we make music for a living full time, because for the most part, that's a privilege reserved for very few of us. And it's funny, it's interesting being on my side of the desk, and probably yours too, where it's like you're looking at this person and you respect them as an artist, and they're hiring you or coming to you as an artist. You don't want to say like, hey, what's your day job? You know, or like, but I think it's a very interesting part of the equation. And then you begin to dive in, you find out, okay, what was the motivation behind the song? Like, why are you writing music? I mean, everyone that I've ever worked with, I think if you ask them, like, why do you do this? I mean, you do this because it's a calling, and you make music because literally it's art. You're called to do it. And you're not doing it for the fame and the fortune side, because that's reserved for the privileged few. And so I'm always curious, like, what is the motivation? Like, do you want to beautify the world, or do you want to stop bullying, or do you want to let women know that their bodies are okay, or do you want to help suicide people that are victims of potential suicide, or are you just trying to have some fun, or do you want everyone to get high and dance in a field? I don't know. Everybody has like a reason.
We'll play the safety dance.
Seriously, like, everybody has a reason, you know, why they make music. And that's always very interesting to me too, is like what you're motivated to do this. And it costs a lot of money to do it right and get it out into the world. And that's fascinating too. You know, why you could just make music and share it with all your friends, and you don't necessarily have to go and tour and put it out. You could just do it.
Yeah, put it on YouTube. Personal. Whoever finds it, finds it. Whoever likes it, likes it. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, we have had musicians on. I'm not saying we haven't, but it's usually a little sparingly. But it's been kind of interesting. I think two of them, one of them didn't say anything per se, but we kind of, and we call our interviews visits, because we like to have, you know, a little bit of a fun time, a little bit of a relaxed time and atmosphere. And we sometimes get a little personal, or personable, hopefully. But we pulled out, you know, a young gentleman mentioned about how he was bullied in high school because he was in band. And that was completely unexpected. And we're kind of like, ooh, goodness. But it was all right. He didn't tell us to take it out. And we always, you know, tell the people we interview, you know, if there's anything you want us to take out, we can. Because we've had to do that a few times, because they mentioned something spoilers that they didn't want out there quite yet. So we do work with them on that. And then we had one. He's actually in your area. I don't know if you would know him or not. Craig Greensburg?
Greenberg. Craig.
Greenberg, yes.
I know him well.
We had him on for an interview, because I said, oh, this is almost like Randy Newman all over again. We got to have him.
He is great.
And I think after he finished, we were kind of talking, and I can't remember. He put it on Instagram or Twitter or whatever. He's
Facebook.
Like, Facebook. He was like, it was an interesting interview. It kind of went places I didn't expect, but it was kind of fun. So, so I was like, you know, we're just a couple of guys, and at that, we're just having fun, and we just want to visit. So if they're willing to take a chance with us, hey.
Well, Craig Greenberg is a great guy to take a chance with. He's kind of game for anything. He's a bon vivant. He's a great musician. He's a team player. He and I have, you know, I always love seeing Craig out. He's out and about at the shows, and he's a good guy. He's one of the good ones.
So we kind of talk about people's childhoods. We talk about their past a little bit, what they did. So we try to have fun. And the bands that go out there and put us on their websites,
that's to us, that's telling us that you appreciate us as well. So thank you to all the bands that do that. And again, thank you to Cyber PR for as well for connecting us with some of those individuals and bands. So it's fun. One of the other thing that I want to reiterate, and then we'll jump into something else, but just kind of reiterate what you put in your little brochure here, which I've had troubles with sometimes, and I've had to figure out where to find these, is pictures, photographs. And you mentioned right in there, have a photo session. And this is so true. So thank you for putting that in your guide. I'm sure it's probably in all your guides, but sometimes I'm struggling getting images of the artist because I don't really want to use album covers when we do individual singles. I usually want to reserve that if we do a full podcast on the EP or album. And I try to use a picture of the actual artist or band when I'm doing a single. And sometimes those are hard to find.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I always say this to artists, like, why did you think about this? You know, why did you not make this really easy for people to find? Yeah, it's pretty amazing. You spend so much time on the music and the album artwork, but then you don't have a good headshot. Or you do have a good headshot, but you're hiding it from your website. Yeah, it's very strange.
Well, even if it's a casual shot, anything, just to have something different, because sometimes I think it was through SoundCloud. Sometimes the only image I have is the same image that's on the SoundCloud image that's behind the waves. I'd like to have something different if possible. That way it's not so repetitive. But that's one of the things where if they're not, I know they're hearing it from you, but this is where you can tell them, see, I'm not the only one saying this. I agree with you on that, Ariel. Please, more photos. The other thing is a little bit more serious. As of the recording, we have some things that's happened over in Manchester, and we're not going to get into very much details about this, but just a brief mention. This is a changing world. Do you mention to artists now that, you know, there are some dangers within this community now because of everything that's going on around the world?
I think we're just in such a sad tipping point right now. And, you know, we don't know what's gone on in Manchester tonight, but it sounds like it was a suicide bomber, and that's horrible. And, you know, the thing that's happened since the dawn of time with any terrorism is they're trying to make us feel unsafe in places where we feel safe, right? So if you feel safe going to see music or traveling on an airplane or doing any of the things that we like to do, the idea is disrupt it so that you don't feel safe. And you it's not going to stop people from gathering. It's not going to stop. I mean, I'm born and raised in New York City, and I can tell you that September 11th did not stop any of us from gathering, from enjoying art, from enjoying each other, from enjoying the city we live in. And New York came back stronger. It came back a little bit more inconvenient, where if someone wants to look in my bag when I go into a theater, fine. Right. If someone wants to put me through a metal detector before I enter a club, fine. These are small prices to pay for the right. So,
but you know,
dying from a bullet wound or dying from getting hit by a car is all probable on any day.
Right. Well, and I think one of the things that I was looking at, and, you know, this was on a big scale. You know, I'm not going to mention the artist. Everybody will know what we're talking about when this is released. But I'm not going to mention the name of where it's done because she's probably going to be a little traumatized as herself. I would be if it was me anyway. But it's one of those where it's not just the big venues that you have to worry about. And I'm wondering, for these young kids that are coming into your office, you know, you mentioned the naivety of these younger, well, I don't want to say kids, I guess young adults. You know, do you sometimes, and I'm not necessarily meaning terrorism, but just going out and traveling and putting yourself out there, that, you know, sometimes this can be a cruel world. Do you find yourself sometimes being a parent sometimes to these younger individuals that are just fresh off the boat, so to say, or the bus? And do you enjoy being the mentor sometimes with that? Well, this is one of your positions of the job that maybe you didn't realize was going to be part of the job when you started PR?
You know, it is something now that I get older that I am really enjoying. We had an intern last semester. I absolutely loved this young woman, and she's just a fantastic young woman. She was smart and ambitious and did her job really well, and I got to know her, and I recommended her, and I helped her get her first job, and I'm happy and proud that I could do that. And
cool.
She called me up and thanked me and said, I don't know where I would be without you. And, you know, it's like when you can actually make a difference for people. I mean, that is absolutely something that I deeply, deeply, deeply enjoy as I get, you know, as I'm older now than a lot of my artists. But I think also as a musician, as a creative, it's very, very hard. I mean, a lot of them do not need more mentors and parents, right? A lot of them really need,
an ear to listen to.
Yeah, they need a truth teller. And I think, you know, a major part of the quandary of millennials, this younger generation, is nobody ever told them when it wasn't good. You know, everybody gets a trophy is not necessarily the best way to run a softball tournament. And so I think that criticism and negative things hurt and smart a lot more than, you know, generations like my mother's. My mother, you know, is older and lived through World War II. You know, basically, like, she doesn't, you know, she just has a much tougher demeanor, right. and she can kind of take it in a way that that generations that came after were shielded in different ways, and
she'll put some of them on the backsides.
Yeah, totally. Like, what do you mean you're not supposed to say no to your children? What, have you lost your mind? You know, so it's an interesting thing, and you know, I really appreciate when I am asked. I don't try to impart advice unless it's asked for, because I am a service provider. People are actually paying me. But I really do get close to and love my artists that want to schedule extra calls or come to the office and have frank conversations about the reality of whatever it is. And I hope that they can take the 22 years of me slamming a hammer on my thumb and learn something. You know, like, I've got a lot to teach.
Well, you've definitely proved that an individual can make a difference, because you're out there, you've created this company on your own, you've helped several people, musicians, so be proud of that. So definitely, definitely be proud of that. One of the other things I want to bring up, I mean, you are, you know, in the marketplace as anybody to make money, but you're also out there trying to help, and you're not always out there to say, oh, give me money, give me money. This is in evidence of what you've been doing with YouTube through your channels and your series that you are doing through the YouTube channels. How often do your web series come out? Or is it just whenever it strikes you, or is there a set rhythm? But kind of mention a little bit about that and how the musicians can glean a little bit of knowledge from you in that regards.
I absolutely detest being in front of a camera. I hate it. I mean, as we're on Skype right now, for those of you listening at home, I can see them and they cannot see me. And there is a reason for that. I do love to put web series out where I explain things and people can, you know, get to know me a little bit. And I talk about, you know, Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and Instagram and how to use all those things. And I do like to walk people through the basics. But I do struggle. I don't like my hair. I don't like my makeup. My outfit isn't right. The lighting sucks. I hate my house. You know, there's all this stuff that happens when you turn the camera on yourself that I don't enjoy. But I do like communicating how to be of assistance. So that is evident mostly on my blog, where I like to write. I really do love to write blog posts. But yes, about once every 2 years, it's been maybe 3 years, I do put out a web series where I put the makeup on and get the lights on and get an editor and a film crew in, and I put a series out. And I do like to do that, because not everybody learns through reading. So that is one thing. Okay. We are part education company here at Cyber PR, and I do love to educate artists. And you know, this stuff is confounding, and it's hard to learn, and you're put on this earth to make music, not necessarily to make tweets and Facebook posts. So you know, if I can help, I'd love to help.
Well, you say 2 years, but I think
as early as last year you had one up, so it hasn't been quite 2 years. Yeah, put one out last year. It hasn't been quite that long.
It's not quite that long, but, you know, they're painful for me, absolutely.
And that's through Cyper PR's channel. And you can also go to cyperpr.com and browse their website to see what Ariel has to offer through her company, and get in touch with her or one of her representatives and lead you through the ins and outs of how to work with them. And we're kind of running up close on time. I know we've been taking up your time this evening, Ariel. We definitely appreciate you coming on this late at night.
My pleasure.
And it's one of those where you are being nice to us by doing this, because you're an hour ahead of us, so you're definitely a little bit longer in the night than we are, so thank you again. You can find Ariel's books through most of your vendors that you can find online. Of course, you can go to Amazon. That's where most people will go, but there's other vendors out there, but you can find most of her books. And you have CrowdStart was your latest in 2016. Your recent guide, is it actually for sale?
It is on Amazon. Yep. It's 99 cents on Amazon, or it's free at cyberprmusic.com. But you have to give me your email address, so that's up to you.
Okay. And it's just an ebook, basically, to download, and then they can print off later.
They can print it off, or you can put it on your Kindle or your e-reader, your iPad.
Because I'm still a. As you can see on the screen, I still
love physical. Yeah, I love it. I love it. You got it printed out. It's nice in color.
Yeah, I literally won't buy highlighted. A CD online. I'll buy physical CDs, but yeah, other than that, not going to happen. So physical people are a thing.
Yep. We still like to touch stuff. Don't get dirty, guys. Come on now. They're over here rolling their eyes at me. I'm supposed to be the dirty old man, not you guys. But also, we mentioned you're going to be coming out with a new edition of Music Success in 9 weeks. Do you have a release date for that, possibly, by chance?
I do not. I have been dragging my feet on that, but I will definitely have it out by probably the fall. Okay. Now that summer is upon us, it's probably going to be September.
Okay. Well, you can say winter, too. That way, it's still 2017.
Now I said it, I got to do it.
It's still 2017. Oh boy, here we go. There you go. But, Ariel, it's been a pleasure visiting with you, and this is why we call ourselves Visits, because we just like to have fun. So it's been a very fun evening visiting with you.
Thank you. Likewise. Thanks for having me.
Oh, definitely. And we've been having fun with Ariel Hyatt. We hope everybody out there has been having fun listening to us. We've definitely been having fun. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you on the flip side. Bye now.
Bye.
See ya.
Come along with me and don't be scared. I just want to set you free. Come on, come on, come on. You and me can make it anywhere. But for now, we can stay here for a while. Cause you know, I just want to your smile. No matter where you go, you know you're not alone. I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save the day. Superman got nothing on me. I'm only one call away.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.